say ain't no good, and I'm crazy as a loon. Cause I shave my head in the morning, pick guitar in the afternoon. Just like old Chief and Charlie, I like to lay around in the shade. Well, I ain't got no money, but you better believe I got it made. Cause I ain't asking nobody for nothing if I can't get it on my own. Just leave this bald-headed country boy alone.
What's up, folks? Thank y'all for tuning into the Josh Terry Podcast. When I say I'm excited for today, I have to talk to social media personalities all the time, country music artists. It is rare that I get to talk to somebody that actually knows what the hell they're talking about, somebody that's earned the notoriety that they have. Not only did this guy just used to kill it in the NBA, he's also just a motivational speaker, a life coach. I love watching his videos. His outlook on life, his mindset is beautiful. As I was telling him right before we started the show, he says everything that I want to say, but how I say it, podunky, he says it articulate, beautiful, clean. I just cannot wait for y'all to hear everything this man has to say the next little bit. Mr. Ketanu Mobley, thank you so much for hanging out with me. And I did say your name right, because I've practiced it so many times. I feel like I was going to screw it up because I'm so bad with names.
No, so it's Ketanu, but Ketanu. When I was in grade school, people used to call me Casino.
Okay.
And it doesn't. Listen, as long as you're talking to me, I'm fine with it. Okay. It's all right.
Well, I'd heard when I looked at everybody's video, like anything that you were tagged in, I heard it said like three or four different ways. Mm-hmm, and yeah, I even heard announcers say it different ways. And I was like, shit, yeah, I should have just asked beforehand. But
no,
I was too busy listening to you talk a while ago, and I slipped my mind before we started. Oh, well, thank you once again for doing this with me. I've got to ask you before we get started, get real deep or anything, because I can't wait for a deep conversation. You're a Philly guy. Mm-hmm. Phillies, the Eagles won last night. How you feeling about that today?
Listen, I love it. So really quick. I grew up a boxer and a football player.
Okay.
So in my mind, I wanted to go pro quarterback because my favorite player was Randall Cunningham.
Okay.
Yeah. So Randall Cunningham was my god. He was my end-all be-all. He was just so graceful, so smart, so athletic, so everything, right? He's a Philly guy. Well, he's actually from Santa Barbara, but, you know, he was a Philly quarterback, whatever. And I grew up during that time, and then Reggie White and all those guys. So Mike Quick and Simmons and all those guys. And so I loved the Eagles growing up. And to see that in the last 3-4 years we won 2 Super Bowls, it's super exciting because Philly's a rough city, man.
Yeah,
it's a really rough city. They do not care to beat Santa Claus up if they have to. It's just a crazy thing, you know what I mean? But it's all in love. It's like it's a tough love.
So I'm big on like second chances, right? Like I think that most of the world should get a second chance. I'd made a lot of mistakes when I was young, and I got a second chance in life. So I became a Phillies fan. I'm mm-hmm. not like a diehard Eagles fan or anything, but when they gave Michael Vick a chance, like after me watching the documentaries on Vick and everything like that, when they gave him a chance to come back and play, it kind of won me over a little bit. Like and I love the mentality of Philadelphia anyway. Like like they'll beat Santa Claus's ass. I kind of like all that about Philly.
So in hockey is the Broad Street Bullies.
Yeah.
1974 when I was born. Right? So they're like fighters.
Yeah.
It's like that we grow up fighting. But it's like it's like the Irish pub back in the, you know, the 30s, 40s, where it's like, I can fight you and you're like bleeding, but like we're still brothers. It's like kind of love, that toughness.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that like I always try to get my friends to understand, like I like the idea of the definition of weird and unique is almost the same thing. So I always catch myself calling myself weird, but I always say, like, there's certain things, like, if you had a creed, you're supposed to have a couple things like you stand for, right? So, like, old mafia stuff, old cowboy stuff, old gangster stuff, like, I absolutely love because it's all about respect, loyalty, and all that kind of stuff, right? Well, that old stuff where you used to fight it out with a guy, shake hands, and your buddies afterwards, and you aired your grievances, but then you're good. Like, I wish we still had more of that in Philly to me. Like anything that's centered around y'all, it just screams that to me.
Yeah, so I'm writing this book right now. It's going to take me about another year and a half, hopefully quicker, but it's called B2B. And B2B, people know me as playing basketball, but then it's basketball to business, right? And
Okay,
then
cool.
business to a lot of people is, Wall Street is this, and business actually is within. Right. And in within that business, whatever company you kind of set up, right? There's the LLC, there's the S Corp, there's the C Corp, is whatever how you want to set it up. But at the end of the day, you have a board. And in that board, you would have bylaws. Right. So it's the same thing when you're talking about that, because my father and I, I grew up at avid gangster, watching the movies and listening to all that stuff, and they had bylaws.
Yeah.
And we should, in this society, it's the only way to keep the chaos under control is bylaws, right?
Well,
So it's the business.
I like the idea of controlled chaos.
Controlled chaos.
Yeah, I think that's the only way, especially in the world we live in today. There's like this thing that like there's got to be more of that. There's too many people. And this usually gets me in trouble, by the way, what I'm about to say. And everybody always takes it wrong. I take it out of context. Growing up, there wasn't as many bullies as there is now because you always had the kid that punched the bully in the face because he got tired of it, right? Like eventually somebody got tired of watching other people get picked on and somebody stood up. And like, I just wish that there was more of that. I wish there was more of that mentality. Those bylaws that you're talking about protected people from just getting harassed all the time, or just getting that shit fed down their throat to where you eventually had somebody come at them and put them in their place. I wish we had more of that.
Yeah, and the thing about that is, I think the media puts out what they want to put out.
Oh, absolutely.
So those bullies may get beat up, but you don't see it,
No.
right? Because they want to keep the fear of the people that there's bullies lurking all around, whether it's on the internet, whether it's, here, there, school, workforce, whatever it is, right? Like some of those bullies are getting jammed up and beat up, but you would never see it. So it keeps the image, the ideology of the bully still alive and lurking. You know what I mean?
Well, I think they try to change it around too, to where it almost makes them the victim. That if you stand up to certain people now, it changed the narrative to where, oh, now all of a sudden they're the victim because we stood up to them. Like,
Yeah, so
it's
you
why
gaslight
would you
me.
do that?
Right, you gaslight me. I tear your head off, and then all of a sudden, now I'm the bad guy.
I just figured out what that word meant like a week ago. My girlfriend just explained what gaslighting was to me. I'd heard all these people saying it for the past couple of years because I'm weird about that stuff, like narcissism, gaslighting, all that kind of stuff. I just think there's shitty people in the world. I think there's really good people. And I hate that we label everything because then I think the labels are overused. And every time you or me or somebody makes a mistake, we're gonna make mistakes. All of a sudden, you want to throw a term at me, like I'm meaning to do this. No, I'm a human being. Like some of that shit's just confusing to me.
It is. It's a lot of clickbait, right? And that's
Yeah.
what sells, right? So the more I can manage or document your emotions around the world, right? The better it is for me to sell you certain things in life, right? So what the top companies do is they study behavior, the patterns of what you do on a regular basis. So if you like Pepsi, if you like Makers, if you like this, if you like whatever you like, okay, let's get that to him, right? So if I can say these words, or I can do these things, and this generates this, and it does this to this type of tribal group, all right, put that there. They do things like that, right? So a lot of people, literally, I think 99% of the people don't even know what a narcissist is, right? Or
I
where
have
it
no, yeah.
stems from, right? So I took psychology in college, psych major. I wanted to be a sports psychologist. So then I kept it because it helped me a lot in the MBA, right? And just studying not only myself but other people and their behavior and their patterns in life, and being a captain of every team, that kind of it was because of the schooling I had, and then being my emotional IQ being high enough to really care for someone else's well-being and then like their patterns, so I can get the best out of them, right? So a part of it's like selfish because I need the best out of you so we can be better. But then also too, as you're thinking when you're younger, your ego's like, all right, I need the best out of you so I can be better, so then they can see that I'm really good at you know what I mean? And then the older you get, the more you flip it, right? So how could I get the best out of that person? I could just be in the background kind of thing. So that narcissist, gaslighting, borderline personality disorder, all those different things that people actually don't know about. But then when these even psychologists that are educated, right? You could still be educated and not know anything, right? I just read this book, right? It's like I just read the book. I just read these different things, but I actually haven't been around these type of people, right? So I'm actually labeling the person before I even understand the person, right? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a such thing as overeducated people
Yes.
anyway. I say it all the time. The people that I dislike the most, I equally love everybody and I equally dislike everybody, right?
There you go. There you
But
go.
the people that I dislike the most, and this drives folks nuts, I am 37 years old from South Georgia, and the people I dislike the most are the uppity ass white folks that are overeducated, like older white women that are mean as hell because they think they know everything and they don't just try to tell me what to do and how I'm supposed to act, but they try to do it to the rest of the world too. And they've never been in our positions. Like they've never been in a poor boy's position where I'm from. They've never been in a somebody that's a minority's position, but they try to tell us how to live. Like I can't stand that overeducated shit. I don't care what school you went to, where you've been from. If you've never been in somebody's shoes, you can't tell them how to walk.
You know, it's perfect you said that because there's this I forget what her name was. She what did she say? She said something. I wrote it down. I can't find it, but it was something to the effect. I may find it later, but it's something to the effect is there's a lot of people that wait, hold on. It says something over here. And a lot of those women actually don't like themselves.
Oh, I bet they don't.
So, yeah. So they don't like themselves, but the only way they can feel satisfied is to be able to pounce on someone else,
Oh,
right?
yeah.
So it's actually normal. And then once the older you get, the more you see the behavior of the individuals, you actually start feeling sorry for them because they don't even understand that, oh, damn, like I'm not going anywhere with this.
Yeah.
Right, I'm just going to be this like mean, judgmental, little girl, right, or little boy, just floating through life, but with a, in the older age.
Yeah. Well, I think that we get so lost in what's normalized to us, like growing up, that we don't know a life outside of it. And it's almost ignorance to a point to where if you've been the mean kid your whole life and that's what's brought you happiness, that like you got lifted up by putting other people down. That the only thing you're ever going to know that brings you joy is doing that. And it's a vicious cycle. And like it's just, I just don't understand how nobody figures out a different way. But the ones that just get so educated and get older and try to tell other people how to live, it just blows my mind.
Yeah, when I was growing up, there was a lot of different insecurities that I had. Whether it's peeing the bed, you know, to a certain age, whether it's stuttering or couldn't read as well as everybody else, or couldn't comprehend something as fast as anyone else. There's always those comparisons at a very young age that parents can't even help you with. It's just like something you go through in life, right? So you can be able to become your best version. But what I realized is that your first, well, this is not me, but this is more of a science thing, right? Your first 7 years is more of like 75% of who you are, right? And then that all the people that are around you kind of mold that. And then you learn from there that 25% of who you want to become. Right. And hopefully those 7 years, there was a bit of like innocence and genuineness and authenticity in that, so you can be able to have the hope to be the best version of yourself. A lot of people don't want to become them because they're scared of the outcome. So they mimic, like a method actor, they mimic the characters that are around them, right? Even if they don't want to be mean, they're just mean because that's what everybody else is doing. Because if I go outside of that, I'm alone, right? And no one wants to be alone.
You're scared of the unknown. You can always see it, especially like in tight families, that if the mama and daddy's mean as hell, usually the son and daughter's mean as hell. Like if they don't know another way to express, that's just what it is. And it's just mind-blowing to me.
Or the total opposite. The child
Oh
is
yeah.
actually total opposite and just like a people pleaser big time.
Yeah. You said my secret shame a while ago too, talking about not being able to read as well or everything. I was dyslexic. So I
Me
didn't
too.
get I did not know I was dyslexic till my senior year in high school. So I just thought I was like the worst reader of all time. Didn't like getting up in front of the class to read or whatever. Just read slow. I still like I hate it, but I kept that was my biggest insecurity all through school. And then finally one teacher halfway through my senior year discovered it. And it didn't help. It was too far gone. I was gonna graduate anyway. But yeah, I understand those insecurities that you gotta hide growing up will stick with you and mold you the rest of your life. God, it still gets me today. Like even with me saying your name and stuff a while ago, that it streams from that somehow, and I know that it does because I'm so scared I'm gonna mess stuff up from the fear of me looking stupid from back in the day when I used to have to read publicly in school.
So it's funny you say that because when I'm up on stage and I'm speaking, I learned in the pros, when I had to speak to reporters or like say if I'm speaking to an arena or whatever it is, that just be you,
Yeah.
right? And sometimes the silliness, the goofiness, the authenticity, the crowd attaches to more than they do the person who acting perfect, right? Like a politician, right? The person that's acting perfect, no one really they don't really get you. So it's just like certain things that that person's like, okay. I'm dyslexic, or I peed the bed, or I did this. I hid it for so long that I've come to find out, oh, it's other people that's dyslexic. Oh, you couldn't read that well either. Oh, you peed the bed too. I was like,
Yeah.
okay, I feel better. And then the older I get, it's like, okay, I'm not the only one it happened to.
No.
Even if it was only two of us in the world, I got
Yeah.
a friend over there in Australia. He did the same thing. I'm cool. It's all
Yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Right. And then you start to feel better about your mistakes and your being flawed as a person, that now you can articulate the feelings you have inside. So it's okay if you mess up my name. It doesn't matter, right? Like your authenticity comes out and you're going to get things that other people that are scholars can't get, right? Because you're so much more attached to who you are as a person.
Yeah. It's that identifying thing. When I can identify with somebody else, like what you were just saying, every time I speak to a crowd, I've never took a piece of paper up with me. Because if I take a piece of paper up with me, one, I'm going to be nervous as hell. Because I know that it's a fumble right off the bat. So I just speak from the heart every time. Like I know a couple key points that I want to say. But besides that, I just free ball. And I found out over time that the more I do that, the more that usually something really good comes out of it too. Like I end up saying something that I didn't plan on saying that either the good Lord put in my mouth or just the situation just called for that just worked out perfect in that time that I just would have never planned on saying. But also too, when you do it that way, they get to see the genuine version of you. They and people, that's what they want. Like if they wanted to see picture perfect, they would go somewhere else. They're not looking for picture perfect when they look for guys like me and you or wherever else. If they wanted, they go find a squeaky clean preacher if that's who they wanted to listen to or whoever. I don't know who they'd listen to, but that's not what they're looking for. And I had to get that through my head, even with my show, was I used to be so worried about the little mistakes and all that kind of stuff. And when I realized nobody cares about that stuff, I'm the one that cares. They just want me to be me. And once I got comfortable being me, that's when it seemed like I started succeeding more.
Yeah, no, listen, you said that so perfectly. It's very hard, Josh, for people to be them because they don't know who them are,
Yeah.
right? It's like a little girl who's striving to be a boss lady if you've never been around boss people and your mom didn't graduate or this or the boy who wants to be a boss and his dad didn't do this or wants to be a wife or a husband. It's like, what is that actually? What is when I help people, they'll ask me about something and they say they want to be something. And for the first thing I ask them is, well, what is your definition of it first? Let's figure the definition out first, right? So once we can figure the definition, it may be different from mine, but I need to understand how you think because it's not for me to change the way you're thinking, right? I can see because like a coach, and stay with me here. You give me players, and when you give me players as a coach, I need to set up the best offense and defense that's to your talent. I can't say, Josh, listen, hey, listen, you're on my team. I need you to post up and run the triangle. He may not be good at the triangle. So as a coach, I got to make sure that I get the most out of Josh for what Josh has for me. Right? So in saying that, when people are going through life, they don't know who they are because they've always been told of being something else, opposed to that parent saying to them, okay, you know what? I'm going to this is what's happening right now. This didn't happen when I was there. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to help you throughout your process, not judge. You do you. And I'm going to learn your world so I can help you in your world. Because 50 years ago, my kids weren't here. 25 years ago, my kids weren't here. It's a totally different world. It's their world, it's not mine. So I got to adjust to their world, right? And a lot of people get lost because the parent never helps the child find who they are because they
Yeah.
always want the child to be whether they who they were. Who they were when they were little, or they don't want them to leave them. It's a lot of different things that go on where you become lost in identity.
Yeah. So one of the things I'm trying to push, and nobody around here gets it. All right. So we have guidance counselors in school that literally they don't do what their name says. They don't guide children, right?
Right.
So I'm 5'10" on a good day. Right, on a good day when my back isn't hurting, like maybe. So, if you would have looked at me in high school and you would have looked at all the time that I dedicated to playing football and baseball, right? And you would have looked at my talent level and you would have looked at what I was actually good at outside of that. I wish I would have had somebody that would have been realistic with me and would have said, Josh, I know that you love these sports. Treat them as a hobby, enjoy them, love them. This is not your career, right? Now, like I'm not saying that if it's your dream to play, but not everybody's going to get to play in the NBA, right? Like you have to have a certain talent level. I'm not telling people not to chase their dreams. I'm saying the opposite of it. There are certain people like me that dedicated way too much time to something that I've got tore up shoulders, I got tore up knees and stuff now for just high school sports. To where if I would have went ahead and started working on radio, or I would have started working on what I was passionate about, writing music, playing the guitar and stuff then, stuff that I thought was so far-fetched that I thought that those things were so unachievable. But for some reason, I had it in my head that me playing baseball was achievable in MLB. And I don't know why that in the society that we live in, we don't have somebody saying, no, Josh, you could have wrote a song way easier than you ever could have made it to to MLB, right? So I wish that we had like guidance counselors and stuff, like kind of what you were saying, to where our parents, if they miss it, or somebody in our lives would help push us towards the things that we're good at, to help chase our dreams, to show us what we're passionate about. And it doesn't have to necessarily be in high school. But I wish there was a way that kids knew it was okay that you can chase whatever you're passionate about. It doesn't just have to be sports.
So you said a lot there, and free of charge, I'm going to explain to you why you didn't do those things early.
Okay.
Really simple. You weren't confident, right?
Oh, no, absolutely not.
How about this one? You were dyslexic, couldn't
Yep.
read, a lot of
Yep.
things like that, right?
Yep.
So in baseball and football and stuff, you're not actually reading anything. It's instinctual. You don't have to read words in front of people. You're just fucking going out. I'm excuse me. You're just going out there and you're just like smashing people
Yeah.
or hitting the ball, right? And then the older you got, the more confident you became in who your what your feelings are. So while you're writing or while you're reading, or you became better at a reader and writer and music and tones and frequencies, now you're like, oh, you know what? And then speaking to people because it's like, yep, I'm just a kid from Georgia. It's all good. Like, I love everybody. And if you don't like me, it's okay. I'm just going to keep going. You weren't like that when you were younger,
You're
right?
right. You're
Certain
right.
stigma. So you hid from it. That's the only reason you weren't there until you got to the point where it's like, yo, I'm Josh. How are you?
Yeah.
Right? Before it was like, I'm this other person in Josh's body
Yeah.
kind of thing. And a lot of people do that. They pretend we're all actors. So
Yeah.
you pretend that everybody wants you to be this. There was a monk that said, I'm not who you think I'm. I'm not who you think I am. No, I'm not who I think I am. I'm not who you think I am. I'm who I think you think I am. Which means is like, I think you think I'm this. So I'm going to act like this or I'm going
Ah,
to hide from this. You understand?
I get it.
So you're actually just playing a trick in your head and stealing from yourself early. But again, it's human. At a very young age, everybody's like, you know,
You're
you come out
playing
of college.
the role that you think everybody wants you to play.
There you go.
Yeah, I get it.
You
Yeah,
go.
I've done that. I've 100% have done it until I got to the point, and I don't think I got to it till I was about 30. And I finally just realized my life was passing me by and I was doing what everybody else wanted me to do.
Yeah.
Like I literally was like, I just remember waking up one day and just, and I love my daughter. She is my best friend, but like the life I was living at the time, I was just like, what am I doing? Like, I'm gonna wake up one day, I'm gonna be 70 years old. I might have a retirement, maybe. But what am I gonna have to show for it? Like
Right.
what is it? Like I should go and I should pursue my dreams. At least if you pursue your dreams and you fail, you can at least say you pursued them, you tried. I would rather fail chasing my dreams than succeed living a lie.
Yeah, I forget who said this. I have so much information in my head at times. I forget who said it, but it was a speaking about a guy who died and came back, and the ghost of his past talents met him.
Okay.
And again, this is not verbatim. It's just I'm convoluting the story or whatever. But they were saying to him, we gave you all this talent and you wasted it. Right? So then when he came back, he's like, oh, wow, okay. I need to actually do this because I can do this and I can do this and I can do this. And that's the last thing you want to, regret is the worst pain you can have, especially at an older age, right? Where you didn't do the things that God has given you to do. And that, some people just, oh, what can I do? And it's like, listen, be active first. Go what you feel. Go off of your instincts. Do that because whatever, even if it's suffering at the moment, it's a lesson to get to the next thing. You ever read a book or you ever do something and it sends you down this Pandora's box of like something else, and this was attached to this book or this was attached to this situation, and now I'm on YouTube studying this, and then this brought me to that. That's how life is. So the first few things may be a struggle, but you become so much better in that struggle that that's not even a struggle no more. That's why I call life a beautiful struggle,
Yeah.
because it's always teaching you something, right? But you have to go down these rough roads right now, because to get all the way up here, I got to mess around down here. And it may not make sense, but once I get here, it's like, oh, yep, that's the reason why that was.
Yeah,
Boom.
It's not possible. It's not possible to get there without the struggle.
Yes.
This preacher that I absolutely love listening to, he's a guy from Houston. His name is Keon Henderson. I don't know if
Okay.
you've ever heard of him. He
No.
is great. I listened to one of his sermons on the way back from Columbus, Georgia last night, when he dropped yesterday. But it's how you just said that is so funny, because it's literally what the whole sermon's about. But it's literally one of the lines in the sermon is, hold on, I literally shared it last night. It's I do not want to misquote this because it's so good. It is, come here. Suffering is the down payment for success.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and the way that we have to go through all the bad stuff, like pain doesn't make sense until you get on the other side of it. Suffering doesn't make sense till you get on the other side of it. And then once you get on the other side of it and you look back, you understand that it had to happen. I know everything that has ever happened to me in my life, where I used to be like, why the hell is this happening to me? I do know, as cliche as it sounds now, that it had to happen to me so it could happen for me. Like it had to. It doesn't make us the men that we are without having to go through it. It's almost like you're battle scarred. You're literally you have to be. You're weaponized. Like it, that's you had to.
So, in saying that, you can switch the words, but success is not a continuum, right? Success is a momentary. Suffering is a continuum, especially if you want to build. But success, you have to pay the rent every single day. I can shoot last year, I'm 44% from three. That doesn't mean I can stop practicing my threes, and then the next year I'm going to be 44 again. That's not what that means. That means I gotta, guess what? I'm at 44. I gotta be there, maybe 2% lower or higher. I can't do anything else. People don't understand. I play in the NBA and I put pressure on myself. Okay, you average 10 your first year, 17, 18, then 19, 20, then 20, 21, then 22. And you gotta keep going up. You can't go down. So you put the pressure on yourself to be great. Right. And everybody now, what you did is you taught people how to treat you now. You taught the reporters and the media and the fans. It's like you have to do that because you gave that to us. And my dad, when I was younger, used to say, maybe that was one of the reasons why, is that if you show me what you can do, now you're in trouble because I'm gonna hold you to it. Don't act smart and play dumb.
Well, when you set the expectations of yourself, you can't get mad when people want that out of you.
Yes.
Like you can't, like it doesn't.
Yes.
One of the things that I'm really trying to push in my head, though, is everybody has a different idea of success. I'm trying to stop making success for me monetary things or things that are short term. So, like for me, my peace of mind, my mental health, stuff like that, instead of me attaching success to a bank account, I'm attaching it to the joy I feel in life now. Now, that don't always happen. Like, I would be lying to you if I said I had it figured out, because I don't. Like, but I'm better at it. I'm trying to get to where, like, how you're talking about with your percentage or on your threes or whatever. Like, I used to think that way, to where everything in my life, if I didn't get 100,000 downloads on an episode of the podcast, it was a failure. And now it's like, okay, it doesn't matter. What's the content of the podcast? Like, did one person hear it and did it help them? To me, now that's success. Business wise, it might be a terrible business model, but I've always said since the beginning, even when I used to work in country radio, I've always said morals over money. If I pick my morals over money, I can always sleep at night. And I'm trying to apply that more to everything now when it comes to success.
Yeah, so and being successful at a young age, it is predicated on money. I don't think people really understand what happiness actually is, right? Being happy is momentary, right? Happiness is a lifetime.
Absolutely.
So you think of Shannon Sharp and Club Shay Shay, right? I love Shannon.
I love listening to him,
Yeah,
dude.
I love Shannon. It's so funny. It's an amazing character. And Shannon is authentic. He's always been like this. My cousin John Mobley, who was the linebacker when they won those two Super Bowls, Terrell Davis, were a great friend of mine, like a brother. Shannon blew up with his podcast, already doing well, mind you, but with Cat Williams.
Yeah.
But how many people did he do before Cat?
A lot, a lot.
Exactly. So sometimes even a VC, and then what they do is they look at Cat and they say, well, wow, let's look at the ones before that because I'm intrigued, right? Joe Rogan had a one that went viral, or the VCs, right? They invest in 10, and sometimes, guess what? Only two hit, maybe one, but it covers all the others, right? And then all of a sudden, now those other companies are coming in and bringing their money in so we can invest in more things. That's just how life works, right?
Absolutely.
We are actually rewarded on mediocrity to the in the totality, in the whole, right? Because 50%, okay, that's great, but that's a big man. But then if you're shooting 40%, if you're shooting, if you're batting 300, you miss seven, right?
Yeah.
So it's like I'm getting millions of dollars on things that's kind of below average. But that the things that 300, when I did hit them, it meant something. So they're going to count on me for that, and that's how I
Yeah.
live. I love life. Listen, I went through a separation, and then I fought for my children, spent millions of dollars. I got my children, and I have my peace of mind, right?
Yeah.
I millions of dollars are gone, whatever it is, I'll make it back. It's not a big deal, but I get to sleep really good when it comes to like loving my children, helping other men, helping even women, right? Become their best version of themselves, and not so much blaming the individual that you had this disagreement with, but then understanding where you're at the moment, because what you chose back then was actually something you desired, opposed to something that was good for you, right? You get two beautiful children from it. That's great. Now go and live your life, right? You don't cause havoc. You don't disrupt anybody else, because it actually that means that you were the one that was the problem. So now my life is very peaceful. Everything's great. It's all good. But again, it takes time to really learn who you are as a person, for so many different people, even your listeners, right? Learning how to take accountability is a very, 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 very strong attribute to have. And it's a skill set. It's a skill set.
Yeah, I just had to learn it. I kid you not, the past 8 months of my life have been insane. I went through a very bad breakup last year and thought she was the one. We got back together recently, but I had to hold myself accountable. And she's a very, very good woman, but she just got sick of my shit. And I was not taking care of myself. I was over drinking. I was spending way too much time doing stuff that I shouldn't have been doing. I wasn't focused on my faith. There was just so much stuff that I wasn't doing. And I blamed everything on everything else but myself. And then finally, when I just got sick of myself, and that's what happened. Like, 'cause I was like, there's no reason why this should be happening to me. Like, 'cause I haven't done anything that bad. And then I looked in the mirror and I was like, yes, you have. Like, you wasn't just letting her down. You let yourself down. You let your daughter down. Like, you're not being the man you're supposed to be. And I started taking accountability for the things that I should be doing and how I'd be acting. And since then, I've lost like 70 pounds. I'm eating healthy. I'm not drinking the way that I was. I'm focused on my faith. Like, I'm not doing any type of drugs or anything. Like, I'm taking care of myself. And I kid you not, it's like one thing after another, even getting you on the show. Like, it's everything is when you start focusing on what you're supposed to and you hold yourself accountable, it's just everything that starts falling into place. And especially, I was trying to explain this to her the other day. I think when I first started trying to make changes, I started trying to make changes in my life because I wanted life to get better, not because it was what I was supposed to be doing, if that makes sense. And then when I started focusing on doing those things because it was just the right thing to do, and stop worrying about tomorrow and just focusing on, because I need to be doing this today. Life just started improving. Like it just became crazy. So holding yourself accountable is a huge thing to me right now.
Yeah, so victory over self is the greatest one. Victory over self is the greatest victory, right? Because you, whether it's your daughter, you actually didn't just save you saved your daughter's story, right? You saved your girl's story, right? You saved your story. And it th there's spiritually, there's a certain amount of dimensions that we're living in, and you can jump from third to fourth, second to fifth, whatever it is, right? And I'm just speaking spiritually. So I'm just trying to give kind of like a metaphoric kind of example. And you could have been still drinking drugs, whatever it is you were doing, and then your daughter trajectory of whatever she was going to do would maybe go this way. And the girl could have went this way. And then you could have went this way. But then when you became more conscious and you fought the desires within inside and said, it's not just about me, right? It's about my purpose. Now, your daughter's like, boom, back on track. Girl's like, boom, back on track. Everything comes back on track. Do you know what I mean? Because you yourself said to yourself, wake up, stop being a little boy. Now I'm time to be a man, right?
Yeah, literally.
That's, listen, it's an amazing feeling. But also, too, a blind man is a poor guide until it gets dark.
Ooh, I like that. I never heard that.
So it's it's there's yourself, and then there's the other part of you, and you're not listening to the person that you are now. Back then, you were
No.
just doing things until something got really bad, and now when it's dark, that's when you start listening to the blind man because he's guiding you in the right place. Blind man, you're like, I got you. Don't listen. You can't see. I know what I'm doing. Boom. And you just go and do. That's the old man and the young man, right? And then when it gets dark in your life, the metaphor of dark is bad and things happen. Now all of a sudden, I want to hold the dark man's eye because I'm alone and I can't see anything. And it's really dark and I'm scared, little boy. What should I do? See, that's the joy of learning. That's the joy of suffering, is to understand that there's a message and there's an answer behind it. And then all you have to do is just like act upon it.
That is deep. And I've never even thought of it.
Saving money on remodeling your home at Menards. Start your tile project off right with DentShield Tile Backer from Georgia-Pacific. It's proven to protect against moisture in your walls and subfloors with a built-in water barrier, making it perfect to use in damp areas like kitchens and bathrooms. Plus, its easy-to-cut design makes installation a breeze. Save big on Georgia-Pacific DentShield Tile Backer panels. On sale through March 2nd. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Save big money at
like that before.
Menards.
That is great. Were you like this growing up, or is this something that once you got a little bit older, like you got him more enlightened?
So this is great. Great question. I get this a lot when people ask me this, right? Were you so deep? Were you so this? And I'm like, Josh, you're still young. You're going to be 50 years old, and you're going to consume so much information that someone's going to ask you the same thing. Because guess what? You already are. You're already a thinker. You're a seeker. You're a thought leader, right? So you're going to keep opening up more books and keep speaking to more people and things like that, because it's always been in you. You were just fighting it because it wasn't acceptable where you're from,
It's not.
right? It's not a lot of people that are highly emotionally intelligent, right? They may be book smart, but the emotionally intelligent, more spiritually heightened individuals, it was frowned upon where you're from, right? So it's the same thing where I'm living at. When I was a kid in Philadelphia, it's like, no one wants this kid that like speaks all this spiritual stuff. Like, dude, you're a geek. Come on, dog.
Oh,
So I
100%.
had to pretend to be something else. I had to pretend to be my surroundings. Then the older I got, and I'm going to college, and I'm sitting here on the courtyard, with some quote unquote geeky other people, and we're reading different books of life, and I'm saying, like, I like how this feels. Okay, cool. So now I'm going to keep expressing it, because the more I express it, the more I will wash away all the dust, which is people that are not a part of my alignment. And then I will gather more, and I can see because my room is clean. Dr. Jordan Peterson, clean your room.
Love
My
him.
room is cleaner. My room is cleaner to see not only the individuals that'll make me better, but the things that I want to make me better.
I have a weird question for you.
What's that?
So you just said something, and I love Jordan Peterson, by the way. I love listening to all his stuff. So have you ever done any psychedelics or anything to help you with any of these spiritual stuff?
I have not, and the reason why I have it, because I want to, and the reason why I have it is because my daughter's 11. And being cautious of, because I get so deep, being cautious of that, I don't know if I do take, right? Even if my shaman's there, if I do take, will I come back to this side? And right now, I think she still needs me until she's in her 20s, right? And listen, she may need me in her 20s too, but I'm just saying, at least she can take care of me if I just go on a,
I got you.
old Moses rampage. I don't know,
I got you. I did one last summer. That's the reason why I was asking. I
I
did. I
wasn't
it was amazing.
really.
It's the most amazing thing. I would microdose mushrooms beforehand because I've heard so many people talk about the benefits with mental health on it anyway. And then I finally decided to do a macro dose, a full psilocybin dose. And I was scared to death of it to start off with. But I finally
Wait, you were
did.
scared before you took it, or like
I was
before you took
scared. I didn't want to do it for the longest time.
it?
But then it was after my breakup. I needed something, and I thought it was going to clean the windshield, the clean the room thing. I thought that was going to clean my room. And I think it's what started me on my transformation.
Got you.
I think it's what it did. It opened up a lot of doors and made me address some things that I needed to address that I didn't know that I needed to address that was in that room. Yeah, it's different. Just the way that you talk about stuff, the reason why I asked is it just seems like as enlightened as you are, I thought you might have. But you've done it a way healthier way.
No, but listen, I'm going to do it. Like, you can forget about it, buddy. I'm actually going to do it. I'm going to have a shaman. I mean, I think it's the lead in America is here in California, where you can get the best of the best, and then you have the best shamans and the whole thing. So, I think, for me, I again, the only reason I didn't is because of my son's 15, my other son's 24 and 25, and her being 11. They all still need me right now
Yes, sir.
in that place, and me preaching to them about spiritual stuff, and suppose me just living it. I'd rather them feel peaceful with me living a spiritual life than being that guy that's standing on the corner with like a spiritual book, right? You need to do that.
It won't send you that far off the edge. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. Wait till you feel comfortable, obviously, till they're in college or whatever.
No, for sure.
But it'll do something to you. The best way I can describe it, because all my friends make me tell them all the stuff behind it, but it literally that room is empty. You don't hold on to no so like I used to have super bad anxiety and depression. I'm a suicide survivor from like 14 years ago, 2010. And I had people around here knew about it. And I've made it very public on my show and all that kind of stuff because I feel like God left me here because it was supposed to be to where I took the taboo out of it for people. Like, and I've had a lot of people over the past 8 years since I started my job, even back in radio, that I would be talk publicly about it because I think I was supposed to where I'm supposed to make people not feel alone. Like to where I like used to when I even say the word suicide, it just tastes like shit coming out of my mouth. Now it doesn't even like it's just another word. Is the best way I can describe it to somebody. I have comfortable conversations with people when they're struggling now. We work with a lot of veteran mental health organizations because of it. And I love all those guys that we get to work with.
Let me know. I love stuff like that, man.
I'll introduce you to a bunch of them. They would love you.
I mean, I when I say, Josh, the amount of love I have inside my body, It's the reason why I posted something this morning. Because I cried hard
I saw that
yesterday.
while ago.
Yeah, I cried hard yesterday because of the love I have for people. And it wasn't more of a sad one. A part of it's sad, but it was more of a expressing my love that I have for you, for so many people that don't know me. And I always said this since I was a young, since a little boy. My grandmother, she's Sicilian, my dad's mom, and she always said, "You're wiser beyond your years." And when I was younger, I didn't, I didn't know that, right? I just did things like an old man, right? I'm on a bus with my grandmom or whoever, and I'm sitting down and I see a lady up. Oh, you sit down. Or, I do stuff where I'm driving up to a shopping center and instead of parking up front, I park way back here because I have the energy to walk farther. It's just
Same
very
way. I'm the same way.
humanistic, right? Like, it's just like I feel love like that. I feel that I'm caring for people, right? So I always said, I'm a friend to you, even if you're not a friend to me. You don't have to be a friend to me for me to be a friend to you. Right now in your life, if you're not a friend to me, it's that you're fighting something, but I'll always be here. Now, I can't make you, I won't let you take advantage of me, but I will be here for you, right? There's a joke, love is like a fart. If you have to force it, it probably is shit, right? So,
I
right.
love
So,
that.
like, I don't force love, right? Right. But I'm not going to take advantage of me, but I'm not going to force it. I will love you from a distance.
I am the same exact way. I have always been that way. I've always said that it's manners for me. So like my daughter and me, we have a thing. She's on honor roll, she's in gifted classes, she's a good athlete and all this kind of stuff. But the thing that I just beat into her head is I don't care how smart you are, pretty you are, good at sports, you have to have manners. You have to be mindful and kind to people. I don't care what else you do in this world, just be good, because that's how I've always been raised. Like I get mad at people. If I see somebody park in a handicapped spot that's not handicapped, and I'm not even talking, I'm talking about like if you,
Them people who buy the sticker and put it on the car.
I'm the type that wants to snatch your
Bothers me.
damn car and move it, you know? Like
Yeah, bothers me.
Because I just don't understand in the world that we live in, with all the negative and all the bad people, why do we have to take those little jabs? Like, why do people have to do that? If the world's already bad enough, and you know that there's going to be some old lady or somebody that's handicapped or somebody coming along, and there might not be, but don't fill that spot up. Like it's, I just don't understand how people's minds work that way. I've never, or when you see somebody not stand up for a pregnant woman so they can sit down. Like it's, I just, that shit just blows. It irks me. I'm glad it irks somebody else too. It just,
So it for me though, right? It's just one of the things I believe, and again, it could be controversial, it could be debatable, conversation, but I believe we're put on earth to suffer and serve, right? It's to serve others, right? It's to help each other while you're finding who you are as a person. There's a phrase that says life isn't about finding yourself, life is about creating yourself. But I flip it. I think life is about finding yourself opposed to creating because you're creating something that you've learned at a very young age that actually is not you. And then when you start to find who you actually are, that's when the ultimate self comes to light. And then you start to feel more comfortable about life in general. Things won't bother you as much. And then our kids, right? Like my daughter sees how I would say beautiful I am to people and my sons. So hopefully they just act like that, opposed to me telling them to be that and I'm not that.
You say it so much better than me, but I say it like you say, you articulate it so much better. But I always say your purpose is you. Like I don't like your purpose is you. You're supposed to start a wildfire effect some way or another. Whether it's you just showing your kids how to break generational curses and not pass anything down, how to be a good parent, how to live, how to pass on love, how to pass on the good stuff, how to give that to your friends and your family. Like you're supposed to put the good out there to where it just keeps growing and growing and growing. That's what we're supposed to be here for. We're not supposed to, we're not put here to work 40 hours a week for somebody else. That's not your purpose. Like, there's a purpose to your life. And a lot of people just ignore that fact just so they can make a dollar. And that's not what we're here for. Like, it's everybody should have a servant's heart. Like, in my, like, that's what you should think of. Like, everybody should want to serve in one way or another to the person sitting across from them.
Look, if it's up to the generation, well, put it this way, our generation, to show opposed to say, right? Even if you don't see it being reciprocated, or you don't see it as soon as you would like, right? The two best times to plant a tree in this metaphor is today and 20 years ago. So you may not be the person who sits underneath the shade, but as long as you plant the tree, right? So a lot of people want to see, and that's a part of the ego, whereas you want to see things happen that you have either created or you are working towards to be better at, because there's a part of us as a child that wants that validation of, see, I've become better, so you have to become better. And it's like, no, just be better, and then hopefully someone will grab it that never even said hello to you but saw the impact you've done, and it just it will go into universe as a plus.
You
That's
should
how I see it.
want to be evidence,
Yes.
in my opinion. You should want to be evidence to where somebody should look at you and know that you've done something. Now, they don't have to acknowledge you. I don't really want acknowledgement. I would rather, honestly, acknowledgement makes me cringe. Like, anytime somebody says I've done something well, I kind of just, I mean, everybody likes a little bit or whatever, but when I do something for the right reason, or I'm just doing something because I think it's the thing to do, I don't want to be acknowledged for it. I'd rather not. But I do want to be evidence. I want to be evidence that God's working in me, or he's using me, or it was God's will that something happened through me. Like, I don't need, I know that something's going to happen out of it. And even if I don't see it in 20 years, I know that it started with me. And if it doesn't start with me, then it wouldn't have started at all.
Right. So there's a there's I wrote something that said, do you want to be influence or credit? Which one?
Yeah.
Right?
Always influence.
Exactly. Right?
Always influence.
It's just a better feeling. It's more natural. And you don't really seek that, right? People seek credit. Right. And then that's the purpose before the ego. I always say, influence is purpose and ego is credit.
Speaking of ego, when you finally get a chance to do those psychedelics, it kills your ego.
Yo, love it.
Oh my God. Like,
I
I
don't even
tell.
know where I'm gonna go because I try my best to keep my ego tucked.
Hey, look, I know that it destroyed mine. Like, it's the best. Like, I, and like, it just makes you think outside the box. It, like, that you've never done before. Like, and it's like, I'm not that important. I'm really not. Like, as stupid as it sounds, it made me everything that I needed to get rid of myself. And ego was my biggest one. I didn't realize that ego was my downfall. Like, but when I say ego, pride's attached to ego. There's a lot of things. Like, even this, for the longest time with this show, when I first started it, back in 2020, after I got fired from country radio, I wanted to have on people that were just going to change folks' lives. Like, I wanted to have on motivational stories and all this kind of stuff, right? Well, we did that for a while. We got on some big playlists and all that kind of stuff. But then, and numbers were good, ratings were good, and all this kind of stuff. And I had a couple people on that were like social media personalities for shock value. And the numbers went through the roof. And when the numbers went through the roof, I was like, oh, I like this. And I kind of lost my way because I was just being stupid and it was fun and all this kind of stuff. And my ego just exploded. We were like number 74 in the world at one point in time. And
Love it.
I was like next to Michelle Obama on
Right.
the like charts
Actually,
or
that's my
whatever.
cousin, by the way.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I've got a picture on my phone, and it's one of the happiest days of my life. I'm in between Michelle Obama and the show Catfish podcast from MTV. And I'm
Okay.
like, how the hell is this my life right now? Like, I don't understand this. There's just no way.
Love it.
I was like, okay, I want to stay in this world. Like, I like this world. This is cool. I don't belong here. And so, like, my ego got the best of me for the longest time. And then I kind of lost my purpose. And I started having people on that I probably wouldn't have on. And it wasn't conversations like this one here. And now I'm back to where over the past 6 months, I'm only having people on that I know I can have a conversation with that is deep, that somebody's going to hear something that you say or I say, and they're going to want to dig into it. And yeah, they're going to be entertained and they're going to laugh and they're going to have fun and all this kind of stuff. But I want them to think. And my ego probably wouldn't let me have that before. Like this show, I would have done this show regardless. Don't get me wrong. Like, yeah, I would have done your show regardless. But some of the people, there's no chance I'll have some people back on the show. But the ego got the best of me. And now it's like I know what I'm supposed to be doing.
That's a great thing. I think just for your listeners and for everybody out there, if they can take, there's a few different things I can say, but I believe that love loves to love, hate loves to hate, sadness loves to be what it is, right? If you feel anything other than love, it's not love. You're mixing another trait into love and calling it love.
Yeah.
Right. So it a lot of people justify it like, I love you so much, I'll do this. So I did. No, love loves to love. Hate loves to
Yeah.
hate. Right. So the key word is love. So whatever it is that you are doing in your life, understand that, take a step back and realize. And that's great that you have that conscience to say, you know what? I want only things that's going to enlighten my spirit. Right, that's going to make me a better individual. Because guess what, Josh? Like, your daughter's watching it, right? And then she
Yeah.
can watch years from now and be like, and feel proud that like my dad is like like one of the best human beings. That's my thing, right? Like,
Yeah.
as maybe upset as my children may be of me, at this time or whatever it is, you go through life, you're like, wow, my dad's a really good person. Like, my dad's a good person, right? My stepfather was a good person, just a good human. And not the flaws of man, but just as a spirit, a
Yeah.
good spirit. And that's what I fall in love with. That's what I love the most. And for anybody out there, especially if you're a parent, I've learned the beauty of life is to have something, or someone to die for, but yet being vulnerable enough to live through it.
Yeah. Do you have trouble? Because I post videos all the time and I try to make myself very vulnerable, right? Because one thing that I have just, I get such mixed reviews from men on this, because men are so scared to be vulnerable. I'm not. I'm already tenderhearted as hell. When I saw your video where you was crying earlier, I cry all the time, and it's happy though. But it's always like I'm overcome with joy, usually, and it's like I hardly ever cry because I'm sad. I usually get mad if I get teary-eyed more than when I'm mad and cry, or however that is. But when I'm overcome with joy and happy, that's when you're going to get tears out of my eyes, or just that oversense of love. Usually, if somebody says they're proud of me, you will get tears in a heartbeat, like every time. But like every time I make a vulnerable post, or I'm talking to men, or they hear something on the show about how you're supposed to open up and be vulnerable and talk about shit. Every guy, they're just so against it, but you don't seem like it at all. And you seem so peaceful. You seem like me to where like it doesn't bother you at all.
No, because one is I'm not in this world alone, and I know that other men. My brother, who I love to death, who's actually wants to hurt me right now, he suffers from mental situations. So I'll get a text message or a DM from him that's threatening. But I love him to death, right? I'm the oldest of them. And me growing up, not knowing how to be a father, in my early 20s, before my kids were even born, I had to be kind of like that because I was the head of the household for both sides of my family, right? And being accomplished. So I kind of took on that father figure, but not really, because I'm like on my way. And just watching my brother or watching my son or watching different people suffer from different mental situations like myself, but I always compressed mine, right? Where that doesn't do well. People need to see that you are human also. And there's a certain amount of deaths, like I said in that video, where people passed away and no one seen me cry. Right? I just kept on with my day, but I'm tearing up inside. And it's not a purpose thing. It's not to be tough or anything like that, but it's just how I was raised. And then now I get to the point where I have to, while I'm helping myself, I'm actually helping hopefully millions of men and people out there to express themselves and still be a tough, kick-ass person. I think you can do both.
I think that it's so ingrained in us. Well, for me, I'm not going to speak for you or anybody else. It's like the sins of our fathers and grandfathers, where I'm from, that we were taught to, when you're hurt, you put dirt on it. That they didn't know no better. They didn't know how to teach you to deal with their emotions, because they were never taught how to deal with their emotions. They normalized us compressing everything and putting everything down to where we don't. And when I had my meltdown back in 2010, after that, after I tried to commit suicide, I decided to discover what mental health was. Like, and luckily, I'm here because I'm a dumbass, and I'm the only reason. I tried to take way too many ibuprofen 800s. If it wasn't because I took the wrong thing, I wouldn't be here. But that was God's plan for me to be stupid. Is how I tell everybody. It's funny. To me now, I can laugh about it. But after that, I didn't want to take the medication that they were trying to get me to take, because it dulled me, my personality and everything. So I had to learn, before mental health started becoming cool, I guess is how you would say it, how to deal with stuff. And now I'm trying to get
Very hard
got
thing, Josh. Learning how to deal.
And
Learning how
I
to deal when your girlfriend cheats, or when she breaks up with you, or you get cut from this, or you get a D, or I'm shorter than everybody else, or she doesn't like me. My dad's doing this, my mom's doing that. It's very hard to deal. Doesn't matter what book it is that you're reading, it's the feeling that I have. Your feeling is different than my feeling, and I have
Absolutely.
feeling. It doesn't mean, right, that whatever it is on the outside, the feeling you have is factual. So now where do we go from there? That's the key. Listen, manage your mood, because if you don't manage your mood, and it don't obey, it will command. Do you understand? You have to learn how to manage it, because if you can't and it doesn't obey you, it will command you to do so many different things. And especially for young little boys that's growing up to be men, they don't know how to manage their emotions, right? Because again, like you said, our grandfathers and our fathers are saying, like, yo, listen, get up, you're good. And I'm a person like that. Get up, you're good, right? And it's okay. Listen, I cried yesterday, and then I start writing, and I was okay, and I took a walk, and I came back, and I hugged my youngest son, and my daughter came later and kissed her and everything like that. And I posted it this morning because I cried yesterday morning about it, but I posted it this morning so people can understand that, like, listen, I don't have all the answers. It is okay. I need you to go do something fun. Go watch Weird Science. Go watch, Step Brothers. Go watch something funny. Go walk with a friend that you like a lot. Go do something, but don't sit in it. You
Oh,
can't.
100%. Yeah, I love, you either can control your demons or they're going to control you. And for me, I had to learn this whenever I was figuring out that I didn't want to take medication and how to deal with my stuff, right? I wanted to put myself in situations where there wasn't a win and there wasn't a loss. So, like when I started feeling stuff come on, I would go for a walk. I started coloring. I started doing some writing and stuff like that to where I didn't have to expect somebody else to be part of my happiness for one. I didn't have to need somebody else to be there with me. I could sit down and do something by myself at my own pace, do as much of it as I wanted or as little as I wanted. And it just became to where I learned to control my mood. I learned to control my feelings. That if I was in a depression, I could start working on it. Like I could get out of my own funk if I decided I want to get out of my own funk. To where back in the day, I would sit in a dark room. I remember this is how this is like. I love Roseanne Barr. She is crazy. She is insane. But she, for some reason, I have a special place in my heart for her. Back when I was at my darkest, at I don't remember. You have to remember, like Nick at Night when they used to
Yeah,
run
Nick
all
and
the
I,
Nick at Night. So that we used to have satellite television back at my family's house, and I couldn't sleep at night, but I would sleep during the day while my family was gone. So at night I'd be by myself, completely alone and all this kind of stuff. And I would watch Roseanne and I would watch it religiously, like hours on hours on hours of it all the time. And besides that, I would be in a dark room eating way too much, just miserable. But that's all I would watch is like Roseanne. And I'm telling you, once you figure out that you don't have to be in that dark room and you don't have to be eating too much and you don't have to seclude yourself away from the rest of the world, that that depression doesn't have to get the best of you, that those demons don't have to be the ones controlling you. It's the best feeling ever, but you have to figure it out. Like you have to figure out how to control your mood, like you were saying.
You know, a lot of people go, grocery shopping is not the only thing that people I guess shop for, right? Besides clothes, right? A lot of people, more people go emotional shopping, like groceries than anything, right? You got to keep, and then you keep picking the wrong foods for the body, right? For the brain, and you have to take a step back, which you've done or which I've done, and a lot of people do. You got to understand that what you're picking when you go emotional shopping, is it good for the body, the brain, for my environment, right? A lot of people keep picking the same type of foods that gets them into that state where of depression, right? Meaning like those behaviors that you keep doing, right? Opposed to taking a step back outside of the body and saying, okay, this one makes me happy. Roseanne or Martin or,
I love Barton.
Children. Yeah, or married with children, or for me it's Western, right?
Why did you say married with children? Just curious.
Yeah, this stuff I watch.
I love Mar I literally watch it. I'm rewatching it right now.
I
That's so
watch all
weird.
this stuff
I
growing
love
up.
that. I love it.
Yeah, I watch all this stuff growing up. Good times. All in the Family. The Jeffersons. Like all that stuff has becomes euphoric for me. And then next I tap out of that depression, and then I get to that point of like, okay, snap out of it. And it's okay because guess what? The same thing happens, brother, when you're playing in a basketball game. And in that game, there's a time of doubt. Okay, even if you're up 15, you're still thinking because then that team just got a layup, right? And then you start to think, oh man, they're gonna come back. Opposed to saying, just keep doing what you were doing that got you the lead,
You got
right?
that
Is that what?
mentality that other shoe's gonna drop.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of people go through life like that. Man, it's raining Monday, so the rest of the week's gonna be shitty. And it's not, that's not how it works. It's not how it works.
I think you can manifest your way out of it, 'cause that's what I've really started doing. Is I'll tell you how the today this Monday went. Like starting off this morning, start off with a stupid phone call that I didn't want as soon as I woke up. And then something else hit my bank account like right away that it was not supposed to hit till Friday, but whatever. But what was crazy, and this is what I was expecting to happen, right? When I texted you to make sure we were good for this morning, The way that those first two things went, I was like, oh, he's going to be busy this morning. Something's going to change. Not that I was expect like I didn't want it to, but I was like, okay, this is what it's going to do. But instead, before I texted you, I went, I took care of everything else I needed to in the house. I didn't overthink it. I didn't get upset about those first two things. I handled them appropriately. And then I started focusing on the good that had already happened this morning. Then I texted you. It was good to go. Right after that, a sponsor from the show that we're working with paid me out of nowhere that was not expecting them to go ahead and do it. And it was just like, okay, if you act negative in a negative situation, it's just going to become more negative. But if I apply positivity to a negative situation, it's probably going to be okay.
And guess what? But how about this one? If you're down 20, I've been down 20 against Boston Celtics in the fourth quarter, Atlanta Hawks, different teams, where the percentage is on their side of winning that game. If just because they make a run, 6-0 run, 8-0 run, doesn't mean you lose.
No.
You keep you it's it it's I call I tell my son this is 15. Walk him down. Okay, you feel like this, the devil? I'm gonna walk you down, baby. I'm just gonna keep walking. Guess what? It may be the end of the week till I see the result, but I'm going to walk you down. That's all I'm gonna do. I'm gonna walk you down. And before you know it, I'm not down 20, I'm up 10. That's a 30-point swing. And now we gotta see how tough you are because I know how tough I am. I'm up 10, right? From down 20 to up 10, it's a 30-point swing. Now, how tough are you, devil? Or do you wanna go to somebody else? Because right now, you're not winning, I'm winning. That's how I look at life.
I'm getting a sign made to go in here that says "Walk you down" and
Walk
getting a
you
picture of you, and you're about to sign it before we put it in the studio.
down.
I love that. That is the best. Well, I mean, it's everything's perception, though. It's just how you look at a situation. It's just the mentality. If you just every time something bad happens to you, or something bad's happening to you at the time, if you're just negative about it, you're just going to make it worse. If you have that mentality, and you always have that mentality that is all right, it's going to be okay,
It's so much fun, right?
it's
It's, I'm
way
telling you,
better.
it's so much fun. Depression and negative things in your life is a gift from God. Please tell your listeners if you can or put it on repeat. It's a gift from God. If things go your way, you'll run away from your ultimate self. You become that pig in a thing. You become that dog that's waiting for the food. You become the sheep. No, I want it. Thank you. When things happen wrong, I'm like, thank you so much because I was getting fat and sloppy about this one. I need to be stronger as a person, right? That's where the gift comes from. So, if you're 81 and 0, I don't know what losing is. When I lose, I'm shocked. Opposed to being someone that's won 150 something games, right? Like at the end of the day, you know what? The Eagles, they were 2-2 in the beginning of the season, won the Super Bowl.
I've always heard this. If you didn't know how bad it felt to lose, you wouldn't know how good it felt to win.
There you go. There you go.
I heard somebody talking about it one time about Tyson. I love Mike Tyson. I've got a poster of
Amazing.
him. He's one of my favoriteest. I think he has one of the best stories of transformation and just everything of all
You see
time.
how he evolved with his spiritual journey and his philosophies, right? He wasn't speaking like this in his 20s or his 30s.
No.
He starts speaking like this the older he became because now his purpose is before the ego, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because then now no one takes him. He's not in that warrior stage where if he did speak like that, how my opponent and how are people going to see me? They may see me as soft, or they may see me as this. And I have a perception that this is where it makes me money is to scare people and make people feel inferior and blah 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 blah. Now I start getting older, it's like I have nothing else to prove but who I am to everybody. Kobe Bryant. Okay, Kobe's one of my best friends. passed away. Now all of a sudden it's like he was so spiritual and he was philosophical and he's so stoic and he's so, but you didn't hear that when he was playing. He
You just
was
heard
a
what a
mamba
kid.
mentality snake
Yeah.
want to kill you.
I was so blown away by that documentary about how he was and how you know him. Because all I ever heard about him is what just that Mamba mentality. Like and Jordan too, but like more so Kobe for some reason. I think everybody kind of always the way I always pictured Jordan was just he's just Jordan. I guess that's the best way to put it. But like with Kobe, I never would have thought I would have saw that side.
Yeah, because he kept everything suppressed,
Yeah.
right? To a small few. We would speak like this a lot.
That's cool.
And super intelligent, right? And very, very, I guess, connected to the spiritual world of what's right.
You have to be a lot like me though, because with art, with athletes, with me, with artists, they open up to me a lot because I'm easy to talk to. I could see you being an athlete, of course, but I could see anybody just sitting there and just wanting to open up to you and being more comfortable with you. I would imagine even with him or whoever, you've had to some of the best conversations with one of those guys that would never open up to anybody else.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because when I was doing Dad's Point of View and I stopped because of the guys that I was working with, they weren't good. They weren't doing good business. But I'm actually, I have a new group that's going to actually help me fund it. And good guys. And I'm starting to back up, but I have about 15 episodes so far. I may start doing the whole thing over anyway. But from Matt Barnes, Dwight Howard, to different guys, and it's called Dad's Point of View.
That's cool.
It's not so much predicated just on like a dad, but it's just the point of view of men, right? And then there's women on there as well, that Tabitha Brown, who's she has her own little not little, millions of people love her, especially on the East Coast. I interviewed her husband, and she came on as well to speak. And amazing people, and in they opened up. They, I asked questions, and I was. I think one thing is too is Josh, you're vulnerable. So being vulnerable and being flawed and understanding that we are flawed, I think that's what the people feel, right? It's not what you say; it's what they feel. You can make a person. You can say nothing. Go in a room and say nothing, and that person feels either intimidated, scared, happy, safe. It's all the energy that
Oh,
you have,
absolutely.
right? So I think people need to really focus on energy that they let out, right? You go into a room and you say nothing and you're frowning, or you go into a room and you're smiling, and right, it breaks ice.
Yeah. Yeah, you just give that off. You get it. It tickles me. Yeah, it does. I could just see you just shooting it. Like, I always say this about myself. If you put me in a room with complete strangers, doesn't matter creed, color, background, wherever. If you speak English, because I can't speak another language, that's the only reason I say that. I'm not bilingual whatsoever. I'm gonna make a friend or a connection before I leave this room. Like
There you go.
I'm gonna have a new buddy before I leave. And I feel like you're the same way. Like it's just, and I used to not believe in the whole vibes thing or whatever, like the vibrations thing. And the older I get, I'm actually starting to feel it between folks to where like you actually feel it.
Yeah, you feel it. You feel the vibe. You feel the vibe. And you don't fight it, right?
Yeah.
You don't fight it. It's just what it is. And I think also too is with you is you have a curiosity to understand and know.
Oh, yeah.
And then when people feel that, they're willing to speak, right? An old dog tongue loves to wag, right?
I
So
love that.
people love to speak, especially about themselves. Right. And you are a really good listener. So, when
Tell
you're in a
my old lady that, please, if you don't mind. I'd very much appreciate that if she heard that.
That's funny. Yeah. So I think that's what they feel. So that they can just talk to you. And yeah, man, just keep up. that, it's just it's a natural thing, and you've come into your own of understanding who you are and being unapologetic, and just keep it's such a beautiful story you have, right? But understand too is being flawed is perfection.
Yes, sir. I like that.
You know.
Well, I just want to tell you once again, thank you. Anytime you want to do this and shoot the shit,
Yeah.
anytime, especially when you start up your show, I will help y'all promote it in any way
Love it.
possible.
Thank you. Yeah.
Dude, I just appreciate it. Like I said, you've inspired me with a lot of the stuff I've seen on your social media. I think the world of you. I think the stuff that you say and do. The world just needs more of it, sir. And I'm a fan, and I just appreciate you taking time with me today, sir.
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate you. Seriously, I do.
Thank you. And everybody that listened to me, please go find his social media. I'll be tagging him and everything today. It don't get much better than him. So thank each and every one of y'all for listening to the Josh Terry podcast. Y'all have a great day. We will see y'all later.